Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to Think Big Bodybuilding Media. I'm Scott McNally, and I wanted to start the program out today with a question to all of you. What is it that made you fall in love with bodybuilding? I figure that if you're watching a bodybuilding podcast, that if this is what you do with your free time, then you probably have fallen in love with the sport, just like I have. And, you know, there's so much cool entertainment that we can get out of, like, watching the pros, seeing them go head-to-head, the best of the best competing, and you know, getting to hear their thoughts on programs like this. But back at the foundation, it was just, for me at least, I just wanted to see if I could change my physique, you know. I wanted to see if I could grow some muscle, get into better shape. And through those experiences, I ended up learning lessons that I've been able to apply to other areas of my life. Lessons like the benefits of hard work and follow through. And a big one was to find out that I was capable of so much more than I realized. I've talked to so many other people who have had similar experiences. And for all of us, there were people that came into our lives that helped us to have these experiences. You know, a big part of my life today is to help other people have their own version of that experience, be it through the shows or through coaching or, you know, just through having a conversation. And that's where our guest comes in, Mike Toler. Mike is a gym owner here in Michigan, and he's a guy that I know personally. And, you know, through his gym, he is helping others to have their own version of that experience. So I just kind of wanted to seat the program today that that's where I'm coming from in this conversation. Mike is an interesting dude. He's got a cool story. It's about a 25-minute podcast. I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope that you're doing everything you can to be a good representative of the sport and help other people. And I hope you're having a great day. Let's get through this shutdown thing and get back into the gyms. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Think Big Bodybuilding Media and Advices Radio. If this is the first time you've tuned in, do us a favor. If you hit the subscribe button and you hit the notification bell, you can stay up to date. We have several podcasts coming out each week. Today, I'm talking with a good buddy of mine and gym owner, Mike Toler. We're both living here in Westland area, and that's where your gym is. Mike, I've known you for a long time, man. You know, we've worked together on some contest preps. You know, I've known you since you were just personal training over at Anytime Fitness. You know, you've moved on from that. Now you own your own gym, WestFit over here in Westland. And you've got such a hell of a story, man. I thought, you know, with all the downtime that we all have right now, I wanted to kick back and talk with you for a little bit and share your story, because I feel like it's pretty cool and it could be inspirational to some people, man. So how you been today, brother?
Dude, it's doing, everything's going good, man. I've just been, people know that I am WestFit, Westland Fitness and Nutrition Center. I've been here, 14 months now.
Yeah.
I was doing really well until this epidemic happened, and I basically had to close my doors. Since my doors are closed, obviously, when you have a business not legally able to run, it's definitely taken an impact to my wallet and the community.
Yeah.
I'm actually right now in hopes talking with the councilman, the mayor, the chief of police, trying to get a green light to open my outside weight pit. People might know, people that might be watching this don't know that, but I actually have an outside weight pit.
Yeah.
Dumbbells up to 100 pounds, squat racks, everything. I mean, like a full gym outside. So right now, today, as of today, I'm trying to open this back up, at least for the outside.
I love that too. You're a guy who's like, you're a dreamer, Mike. You are, you know. Awesome. And I remember when you approached me about this, you were like, "Hey, I'm gonna branch off. I'm gonna get my own gym. I'm gonna open this place up," because you were partners at the old place, right?
And well, I wasn't actually a legal partner. I basically ran the operations of the place. So Anytime Fitness, I was there for about 10 years.
Yeah.
I was a low man on the totem pole trainer. I worked my butt off to become the number one trainer there, being the number one spot, basically the boss. Then becoming director of operations to run the whole fitness facility. So I was the face of Anytime Fitness Westland for, you know, like I said, 10 years I was over there.
Yeah. And not only that, but I'll tell you guys, like, Mike, I think that you know everyone. Like, you know, me walking around in Westland, You know, if I, like, I used to work for 7-Up, and I'd be, you know, at the grocery store or something around town, and, you know, people look at you when you're a bodybuilder, and they know you lift weights and everything. They're like, oh, hey, first thing they say to me, you know, I heard it more than once. People will be like, oh yeah, you know who Mike Toler is? Like people who aren't really involved in bodybuilding per se, but they're trying to like relate to you. And so they know someone that you might know type thing. And they always tell me like, oh, you know, everybody, everywhere I've gone, anytime I've run into you around town, I swear to God, if we stop and talk for 5 minutes, there's at least like 3 people that know you that come up to you and are like, hey, what's up, man? You're like the mayor of the city, basically.
Well, I got a really good following out here. People were like, when I left Anytime, people were going, hey, where are you going to go? I work at a place called Genomedics. They do HRT. They wanted me to go out to Birmingham to open a gym up there.
Yeah.
People would say, hey, come out here and work out in Ann Arbor. You need to go here. You need to go there. But what I decided is I wanted to stay right here in Westland. Westland's been, this phone won't stop. The Westland's been very good to me. The community's good to me. The people good to me. I have a great following of people who actually love me. I mean, since this epidemic happened, I have multiple people reach out and say, hey, Mike, take my dues. You know, just go ahead, take my money. I'm like, I don't want to take your money. That's not the way I work. I don't want nothing for free. So. Here. Is because of the love I get from this community. And like I said, everybody knows me in this community. Everybody. It's amazing how many people, friends I've met through the fitness, the gym, through training, and just getting out there and talking to people. I give a lot back to the community. Yeah. And so I'm well loved out here. And that's the reason why I stayed out here, Scott.
Yeah, and I mean, just to kind of put this into perspective too, and I want to get into your story and kind of talk about how you got into the life that you have now, which is a pretty cool tale. And I don't know all of it. I know some of the basics. But before we do, though, I do want to say too, like, for, you know, the people watching this, you know, our podcast are worldwide. We have a lot of people throughout, you know, everywhere in the U.S. that are watching this, especially. They don't probably know Westland. I mean, I grew up in the town. It's a blue collar town. It's not a bad place, but it's definitely, we're rough around the edges. You know, it's not a place that has a lot of money. You know, you could consider it middle class, but I'd say we're probably toward the lower end of that.
I would have to agree with you.
And it's not the kind of place that you would think to yourself like, hey, I'm going to get rich as a trainer. I'm going to get rich at the gym. I'm going to put in this, you know, this isn't the kind of place. And you know, shout out to everybody who does have those kinds of gyms, but this isn't the kind of place that's, I wouldn't call it like a fitness club. This is a gym. You know, this is a gym. You've got 150 pound dumbbells inside, 100 pound dumbbells outside, tons of cool equipment outside, and everything, you know, that's inside too. Plus, at the same time, though, it has the feeling that I've always loved about what a real gym is. And that's that this isn't just like meathead bodybuilders. You have moms, you know, and dads, you know, kids in there and stuff. There's all sorts of, you know, arrays of people from, you know, those people. I see the Scorpions, the bike club in there. Those guys are training in there.
Absolutely.
You know, guys that are getting off their job at the motor company and stuff. You know, and then you've got the people that are, you know, more serious and stuff, but it's, everybody comes together in this one place, and it's a really cool atmosphere, you know, that that everybody can enjoy this thing, fitness. So right. I want to start out by because we've already gone into this pretty far already, but I want to ask you about you know, how you found your love for fitness. I mean, I know you did some time. And I, you know, that's no secret. You don't hide that from anyone.
I don't hide it anymore.
And is that where you got serious into lifting weights?
Well, I was let me go back. So what happens when I, growing up, I was always like an athlete, always, you know, playing football, wrestling, things of that nature, baseball, got into lifting weights probably like 14, 15 year old, went to a place called Stern's Gym. I don't remember, Leo Stern's Gym, right? He's an icon in San Diego. Okay. That's where I'm from, born and raised. So I was at his gym working out, got into working out, kind of loved it, but I was a kid. And like some guys put me under the wing, showed me some different stuff. So I always kind of been loving the fitness life. Later on in life, I became addicted to drugs in my 20s. Became a drug dealer, selling drugs. Kind of like that movie Blow. That's the closest resemblance. I wasn't a bottom feeder. I was a top feeder. I was on top and people below me working. So I was involved in the drug game and I still worked out, but mostly, you know, selling drugs, using drugs, things of that nature. In 1991, it came to an end and I went to prison. Hmm. When I went to prison, I had a couple cases. I had a state case and I had a federal case. My federal case, conspiracy to manufacture methamphetamines, which is speed. That one, I took a deal for 10 years. In the state of Michigan, it was a conspiracy to distribute 10 kilos of cocaine. For that one, I got a life sentence. So basically, I got laid down. Mm. I shouldn't be out of prison. I should still be in prison right now, basically, but they changed the drug laws. And at that time, the lovely Jennifer Granholm gave me a commutation of sentence. I was able to get out. But while in prison, I was up at Ken Ross. That's in the UP for a long time. And I really got into, like, you know, I was a president of the powerlifting club. I was really getting into lifting weights. Prior to that, I was a trainer before I went to prison. I used to get in debates about, I'm sure when you were younger, people debate, this is the right way to work out. This is the right way where you do this, do that. Yeah. So I actually went to school to get certified. So when I had a conversation, I wasn't stupid just speaking from watching a video or watching the big guy in the gym work out. I actually had knowledge.
So you did that before you went inside?
Yeah, before I went to prison, okay. I was a personal trainer. I never practiced being a personal trainer, but I was. But the funny thing is, when I got to prison, when I got up to Kinross, my job was to train people in prison.
No kidding.
So, yeah. So imagine having, you know, 100 people come to your classes and you're like guinea pig at home. People are getting sick and, hey, go see Mike the trainer. That's what they call me in prison. Like, I was known for like training people in prison. I had to run the 40 and over club, run the 30 and over club. I ran the fitness facility. I ran, my job in prison was like a trainer. So I was certified. So that when you get to prison, they say, all right, Scott, what do you know how to do? Well, I'm a painter. We're going to give you a job on the paint crew. Hey, you're a mathematic guy. We're going to give you a job as a tutor. I was a trainer, certified trainer. So they gave me a job up there my job was a trainer. I ran the training classes, which is really, I was able to guinea pig on, like, and not when I mean guinea pig, but I was able to try like different techniques, not to hurt anybody, different stuff on hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah. So when you went inside then, did you think at the start with all this that you weren't getting out?
Yeah, I was pretty much, when I got into side prison, I thought, like, at that time when I got sentenced to life, I got sentenced to what's called life in a day. That means you go to prison for rest of your life and one day after. Someone can either pick up your body, you know, or you get buried in the, you know, Jackson in the graveyard. Mm. But I never thought I was going to get out. But when all this is going on, I was still using drugs inside prison. There's a lot of drugs in prison. One day I just had an awakening. Weird story, I was in the hole. I was in federal prison at the time in 1993, and I was talking to my oldest son, and my oldest son, Michael, you know, says, I hadn't seen him for a few years. He goes, Dad, I don't know what I want to be for Christmas. I'm going, what do you want to be for Christmas? He goes, the white stuff. And I'm going to go, the white stuff? What do you mean? He goes, well, my mom said you love the white stuff more than you love us. So if I'm going to be the white stuff, that means you're going to love me just as much as you love the white stuff. My kid was telling me he wanted to be drugs because, you know, my love of drugs, I love him. Huh. At that time, I had an awakening, dude. I stopped using drugs, bro. I like gave it up. Really got into fitness activities, started getting my shit together, doing a lot of correspondence course. And I told myself, you know what? I'm done acting a fool in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, even in prison, I'm going to do the right stuff. So I do the right stuff. I took probably 60 classes in prison. I did correspondence classes. I was a model prisoner. I turned my life around, just want to do the right thing. I never thought I was going to get out of prison, but I kept working for that goal. I filed a commutation. That's how I got out. Yeah. I didn't get, you know, to see the parole board, but I just fought like, tooth and nails. I just changed my life. My whole outlook on life was changing from a negative, you know, using drugs in prison, running with the wrong people, to like, okay, I'm gonna get my shit together, do the right stuff. And hopefully one day, you know, I get out, and I'll never forget. I mean, I got out. I've been out 11 years now, almost 12 years I've been out now.
Damn, that's cool, man. And you've done so much since. But I guess I was kind of focusing on thinking, like, you know, if you're stuck inside, that, I mean, you turned that mindset around, and then you started helping people. And I feel like that's kind of what your focus, like, everything I know about you, man, you know you're helping people. You know, I you've helped me. You know, it's like you've always had. Your gym is always available to me. I know that, you know, if I ever needed a workout, man, I know I could always come to Mike, you know?
Absolutely.
And I appreciate that, man. I feel like you don't find a lot of people like that in the world that are just genuinely trying to give to others. And I think that's a cool thing. So you got out, and then what? You went over to Anytime then, or what?
Yeah. Well, I went to Lifetime in Canton first.
Okay.
I was there for a day and I quit my job there. That was horrible.
Why?
It's just the way they wanted to do it. First of all, they want you to sell, no disrespect to them, but they want you to sell their products. Like, hey, all right, hey, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go start talking to people, and then you're going to ask them to train. And we're going to take, 70% of your money. You're going to get 30. I'm going, okay. But then we want you to sell all our products, push their products. I go, I don't even know if that's any good. How can I never tried your products.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're just going to push our stuff. This is their agenda. So I'm like, right then I got turned off. I never wanted to be like pushing corporate stuff towards somebody, like pushing stuff I didn't believe in. Yeah. If that's workouts, a product. I get all the time, Scott, hey, endorse this stuff. Hey, why don't you sell this stuff? I go, I don't believe in it. I don't trust it. I don't, that's not what I'm about. I'm never about like just making money. That's my thing. I just want to make money. Like, that's not my mindset. Yes, I need money. Yeah. Yes, people have to live to have money, but I never thought about like just getting over on people. And I think that's why I have a good connection, a good following, people, and people like respect me or love me or like me. And some hate me is because I'm honest. Yeah. I'm not going to sell you horse shit and tell you it's something. I'm not going to tell you, hey, people always say, hey, Mike, you always say, can I cuss on this thing or not, dude?
Whatever you want.
Well, people always say, but I always have a thing, people go fat as fuck. Because I used to see people, I tell you right then when I scanned someone up, I'm not someone to like hold your hand and tell you, oh, this or that. I'll tell you the truth. You're fat. You look like, hey, you're fat as fuck. But guess what? Just listen to me. Let me do your nutrition. Do my workouts. I promise you won't be. But I've had many people, male and female, cry in my office because I'm honest. That's my thing. I'm honest and I genuinely care. So I don't mean to belittle anybody. I've had arguments before with people. I actually care about what I do. Yeah. I care about the community, especially my clients. Any one of them tell you, like, I love them. I'm a cheerleader. Like, I want to see you succeed. I will push more. I'll take your call at 11 o'clock at night. I would do whatever I can. Similar to like how you do when you're coaching. When you have a client you coach, you give that same people. That's one thing I tell about you, not to change the subject, but you were coaching me. And the coaches I had many of them, you're the one that was felt like you actually cared. And that's a big difference, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%, man. And people see that. I can see that. I can see that that's probably why, people really gravitate toward you. So you had told us before, you moved up through Anytime, starting basically as just like a trainer, and then you ran. How long did you run that place for?
It took me about 2 years, 3 years before I actually took over the whole gym. I mean, that whole gym is the gym was going under, and the owner at the time says, "Mike, I got to close the doors." I go, "Why? We're losing money." And I'm going, "How can you make money, Mike? You're doing good on your books because I had to get a percentage of my money to him."
Yeah.
And the gym is. Staff, man, they don't give a shit. He goes, "Hey, do me a favor, save my gym." I go, "Okay, fire everybody right now." He goes, "What? People have been with this guy for a long time." I go, "Fire the whole staff. Everyone's got to go right now and lock the door, change the doors." So he came in, we changed the locks, fired everybody. I hired a new staff, and we became a profitable gym. We turned it around within a year, we turned profits,
Damn.
So it was good, but the people at any time, I was like not officially, I was more like I said, I was a working partner, but not officially like legally a partner. I was a trainer, director of operations. I ran everything. I had a company credit card, buy what you want. Just, I had full range to everything. They trusted me and just let me run the show the way I wanted to. And we turned a profitable gym.
That's but, cool,
when they closed, decided to go out of business, they got out of the gym business. They still own any time down there in Brownstown too.
Yeah.
They decided they want out. So they got out of everything. And, I decided, well, what am I going to do? And I found this building down the street from the gym next to Dunkin' Donuts. And I said, "Hey, let me buy this building and stuff." And so, long story short, we got the building bought, and I go, "This is going to be a perfect gym." They didn't see it. The people that were buying, they had partners buying the gym, actually fronting the money. They didn't see what I seen. I go, "Dude, this thing's going to be awesome, man. We could put a, it's got a big, glass, got a garage door on it. We can put glass in there, make it like a big garage door." I said, "Look at the outside, man. I could bob wire the fence around that, make that outside. Let's separate the cardio." So I got cardio on one side, weights on the other side. I was seeing all these things were going through my mind. This could be amazing. And, we built it. And basically, I didn't have any. But at the time I came to buy it, I had some people that were interested in being my partners. Everyone bowed out, so I went all in. All the money I had, which was about $60,000 saved from being out of prison and working, and put it all down, dude. And went buck wild, and here I am. Nice, all invested. Man. I'm 56 now, 55. I went literally my life savings, Scott, like left like $1,000 in the bank and went in. Not the smartest thing to do if you open a business, Scott. Save some money in the bank.
Hey, it should be nice. I remember that building. So when I was a kid, that was a paint store. And then
Benjamin Moore. Yep.
Yeah. Benjamin Moore. I didn't even remember the brand name, but that's it's an older part of Westland. It's, you moved 2 miles down, but
half mile.
Half mile down. You moved a half mile down, but I would consider that as far as like business strategy goes, you moved the wrong direction.
You're absolutely
like
correct.
There's more money. The closer you get up to the mall and stuff and more glitz and glam. But, you said, though, you wanted to be part of the community. I mean, you're right by Norwayne, We around here, we call it Shack Town. And, you know, I mean, that would be considered, I think, by a lot of people who weren't already part of the community to think like, oh, you know, I want to get away from that. But I appreciate that what you're doing is you're revitalizing the community. And I've seen people in there. I saw you had a guy in there with his sons and all of his nephews, these kids. You had them on a circuit, guys. So Mike has these guys on a circuit. There's literally like 10 of them.
There was 10 of them.
And okay. Yep. And they're like what? 10, 12, 12 years old to 14.
Youngest one, 12 to like 35 years old. Yeah. Okay. It's a family.
Yeah.
And they asked me one day, go, hey, Mike, I was actually training one of their cousins. Go, hey, I want to get the whole family in there. Go, well, you know, Saturdays is kind of a slow day.
Yeah.
I said, how many guys want to come? They go, there's 10 of us. I go, 10. I said, I'll give you a deal. This is a deal. I said, you guys got the gym for an hour. You pick the body part. It's going to be circuit training.
Yep.
For everybody. And I'll do it for $100. I go, $100. I go, yeah. Well, we'll pay you more. I go, no, $100. All 10 of you come to the gym. And they were with us. They were with me every Saturday just till this happened. I mean, they were killing it.
Yeah.
Like one of the kids is 12 years old. He was 240 pounds. He lost like 30 pounds.
Didn't he get sick or something too?
When he was young, I had to talk about it because he was so big. I go, hey, what, where's this kid's mom at? Because I want to slap her. Like, how do you let your kid get 240 pounds? Because he had a leukemia as a child. He was in the hospital almost 2 years, you know, when he was like four. So for 4 to 6, the kid fought for his life. And then it was about, you know, comfort food or whatever.
Yeah.
He blew up and stuff. But it was an amazing story. The kid overcame that. And he was out of the whole 10. This 12-year-old, fat little 12-year-old was the hardest working. Never questioned me. Always do what I tell you to do. I mean, it was amazing. He loved it. I mean, as a matter of fact, I gave him a sweatshirt, one of my Get Fit with Mike sweatshirts, and he was like proud. And I said, no one else gets in the family except this one. This is the kid that's working the hardest.
That's so cool. You know, when I've seen them training, it takes me back to when I was a kid because, you know, at 12 years old, you're probably not going to build a ton of muscle, but, you know, you're not going to be able to do really a lot, but you know what you can do? You can get those seeds planted. And then if even a couple of those kids, if even one of them, if they look back at that and that they have those seeds planted, that you may have done something that was really good in their lives, something that maybe they could turn. I mean, I know in my own life, Mike, you know, I hit a point where, you know, things were pretty dark and I wanted to find a new path. And I kind of remembered, I was like, oh yeah, I really enjoyed lifting weights. Maybe I'll get back into that. And those seeds had been planted, you know, a decade previous from all my early weightlifting, just like these kids were doing. And who knows, man, you might do something really positive for them. And, you know, once again, this is in a community that could use the help. So I think that's a really cool thing. And that's really the main reason that I wanted to bring you on today was to kind of talk about that and share your story. Cause I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. And back to that, like there's the school down here, Wayne Memorial, there's all these schools. Like I let the kids come here. Some gyms don't, but if I can get like some kids to come here and just fall in love with working out, because to me working out, like regardless if I get back on stage or not, like I definitely want to get back on stage sooner or later. We'll talk about that when the time comes, Scott.
Right on.
But it's just like, if I do or not, I mean, awesome. But I still like to, I mean, I love to work out. I mean, even like I said, it makes me feel good inside. I mean, I was a drug addict, been through hard times, dark times, you know, but there's been many times it's been like almost a gun to my head. Like, do I still want to do this, you know, with life in general?
Yeah.
And lifting weights, man, has like saved my life. I mean, I believe in this so much, you know, and that's why in Westland, even with my gym here, I believe in this so much. And I get kids to come in. If I can like, I have like probably 20 kids that come here, like high schoolers, and they love coming. They come and work out. I'm going, wow, I've seen that guy's on Instagram now. When the kids got an Instagram account doing weightlifting, you know, like if we get kids from stop playing video games so much, get up, you know, get engaged in something, you know, if it's sports and they don't play sports, the gym or something, get these kids up and do something.
Yeah.
You know, most kids these days are playing video games. They don't want to leave the house.
Yeah. No kidding, man. Well, listen, I want to kind of lighten the topic a little bit do something not really off topic, but
let's go.
You know, I gotta ask you. So the gym is always full. Any gym you go to, there's always a ton of characters there.
Sure.
And the longer you've been at the gym, the more crazy stories you have.
Oh my God.
Out of all your days, I want to hear one good gym story of something that happened at the gym that could only happen, you know, at the gym.
Well, okay, there's so many of these stories I could share with you. And make it so when I see something, when I see someone doing something wrong in my gym that's horribly wrong, I go up to them. I see someone doing something, you know how it is, Scott. You go to somebody, you try to tell them, hey, let me help you. You always get that, what do you know? You know, like, okay. Like
I'm very careful. I'm very careful with that anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what happens? You've been chewed up. I'm very, even though I own the gym, and the last thing I'd want to see someone hurt themselves.
Yeah.
If I see someone doing something, if they're my friends or something, but if I see someone doing something wrong, I don't say nothing till it's like, okay, that's enough. Like, stop. Like, that's it. No, just don't do that. So we had this girl here, and I still have the video I can post on your stuff here. Okay. I have a video of her. God. She was working out. She was a very interesting character, half her head shaved. Very like loud kind of girl. Okay. So she's here one day and she's doing pull-ups on the assistant pull-up machine. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, nothing wrong with doing that, right? You add the weight if you want to make it easier. She had like the whole rack up there, like making it easy as possible. Mm-hmm. She was bringing that thing down and injecting her body up. Like the loudest noise you can make. I mean, we're talking bringing it down and imagine the weight stack getting slammed, bam, bam. I mean, like I'm going, oh my God, something's going to break. So. Yeah. This is what I was interested. So I run out there and I think someone's hurting themselves.
I'm going.
So I go to her and I watch her do this. And I go, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing pull-ups. I go, you don't want to bang the weights that loud. You're doing the whole stack. Take it a little bit louder, lighter and do it. So again, I leave her. Same thing. Bam, bam, bam. I go back out there and go, what are you? Just stop. You're going to hurt yourself. She about to, what do you know about? I mean, she literally let me have it about working out. What do you know about this? Like, what do you know about stuff? I go, even I know nothing about working out, you don't want to slam stacks down.
Right.
You
don't break my machine, please.
You break my machine. I go, just take it easy. I try to talk to her, and then finally she just broke down and cried and like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, listen, I'm going to show you some stuff for free. All right. I'm going to show you some things. And me and her became friends afterwards, but it was just like some people come in the gym. And have like, especially some of your new listeners who don't know about the gym, hire a trainer. Learn the, you don't have to stay with them forever, but learn your basics. You know, going to Instagram and watching someone Instagram is the key. You know, hire someone, a trainer that's, you know, notable and at least for, to learn the basic mechanics of the body.
Sure,
let me show you
sure.
a few things. You save a lot of time and save a lot of wear and tear on my machines.
No kidding, man. Yeah, I can imagine. But you know, and at the end of the day, it's your equipment. So you gotta kind of protect it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, if something drops, hey, drop it. Do never, ever hurt yourself. You know, I had a client named Scott, and he was doing a
not me, guys, not me.
Not this guy. But he was actually taking it, doing a, you know, pulls over the head, like taking the bar, putting up like pressing, doing shoulder presses with a 45-pound over his plate, you know, with the shoulder press and the standing rack.
Oh, okay.
So he's in the rack, got the 45, doing overhead standing military presses. So he decides to walk out from here and drops the bar from over his head on the ground. Took one of our 45-pound bars, broke it in half.
Oh,
this
shit.
Is at any time. And actually, they actually kicked him out at any time, and he got banned from any time after that. Because he went to another any time and did the same thing.
Okay.
So just so you get some knuckleheads in here sometimes. But this gym here, Westfit, it's really a good feel to it, a really good community of people. You know, there's no disrespect of any way, shape, and form to anybody. And like I said, I have people from my buddies from the Scorpions, Justice Riders, different motorcycle clubs come here, mom, pops, high school kids. I had a couple pros that were coming here. I have a little bit of everybody that comes.
Yeah.
So it's just a different vibe. It's a different feel.
Right on. Well, let's hope we get this whole thing, get life back on track here soon. Because
I hope so, brother.
I can't wait to get back up, get a workout in with you, and just get to continue to enjoy that great you know, environment, man.
I appreciate you, brother, so much.
Yeah, guys, if you're ever out in the Westland area, if you happen to be, I don't care where you're coming from, if you happen to be around the Detroit area, you should stop in, visit Mike, get a workout at his gym. Mike,
give me a free day pass, Scott. They get a free pass. Just mention they see this video.
All right.
I'll give a free day pass, okay?
Right.
Get a free day pass. Anybody wants to come, any way, shape, or form, anytime. When we open back up, I'll give everyone a day pass. Everyone wants one.
Right on. Guys, and I know we have some, you know, good following here in Michigan. So, guys, definitely take advantage of that. Go meet Mike. Get a workout at his gym. Mike Toler over at Westfit in Westland, Michigan. Thanks for being with me, brother. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, hope to see you soon, Scott. Thanks for everything, brother. Appreciate you.
All right. We'll see you, guys, for another episode of Think Big Bodybuilding Media and Advices Radio. We'll see you soon. Hey, guys. Why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip Blend, for instance.
That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.